we fully understand that reality extends not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. I have sense enough to know that for God, the spiritual realm is perhaps more important than the physical realm.
Okay, we're back on another episode of the Deacon on the Dock podcast. This is your doc, Thaddeus Romanski. I'm sitting across from the one and only Deacon Mike Beauvais.
The Deacon of the Deacon of the Dock.
Indeed. Indeed. Great to see you again, Deacon Mike. And it's a little bit of an overcast day here in College Station. We're sitting at across from the continuing construction on the new St. Mary's Church. Calling it a church doesn't seem to really do it justice.
No, it does not. Every time I look at it, I'm thinking cathedral. I realize it's not, but that's the image that comes to mind.
But it is an imposing structure for sure.
Yes.
For sure. They're putting the brick on the outside. It's starting to wrap around to the side that we can see. And so I just continue to be amazed by that rose window. I can't wait to see when it's going to have the glass in it.
Walking up, the thought came to my mind, I would like to know how many bricks it takes to brick that church.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be an awful high number.
Yes, yes. A million?
I have no idea. I would be wrong no matter what I guessed.
I mean, I'm looking at it. Yeah, anyway, we're getting
right,
too
we're getting
much into the weeds. But we told you that this season is going to be not only our continuing look at aspects of the Second Vatican Council, because as we're in this the 60th anniversary period of the council now, and the actual opening of the council is coming up on October 11th of this year. But we're also going to be giving some attention to the Eucharistic Revival, which is going to be going on for 2022, 2023, and it's going to culminate in a large gathering in Indianapolis in 2024. And so today we wanted to give attention in this episode to an aspect of the Eucharistic Revival, right?
Right. And what we wanted to do is one of the initial reasons for the Eucharistic Revival was a Pew study that was published 2019, I believe.
Yes, that's right, 2019.
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions dealt with what we would refer to as a real presence, and we'll talk in a minute about that, wasn't the way the question was actually asked. Mm-hmm. But the responses came back that 69% of the people that identified as Catholic in this survey mm-hmm. stated that they believed that the Eucharist was strictly a symbol after the consecration rather than the real presence as we would identify it as Catholics.
Right. Do you want me to read the question?
Why, sure.
Okay.
Read the question.
So we were able to dig up the actual question that all of the hubbub has been about since 2019. And remember, many of you listening probably remember that immediately there was just wailing and gnashing of teeth, I would say, in the Catholic world. So here's the question, or the statement. Regardless of the official teaching of the Catholic Church, what do you personally believe about the bread and wine used for communion? During Catholic Mass, the bread and wine in the first choice was actually become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And hang on to that actually wording. That's 31% said, yes, that's what I believe. And then the next one was, the bread and wine are symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. 69% said that. No answer, less than 1%.
And it's interesting to me when you look at the question, the way it was asked. Mm-hmm. And again, one thing to remember, the sample size was really, really small.
That's entirety, right.
Was 1,835 people that identified as Catholic.
Right. And we found through Ascension Press that the Catholic Leadership Institute administered a Disciple Maker Index. They surveyed 131,845 Catholics around the country about themes very similar to what the Pew study did. And like Deacon Mike said, 1,835 Catholics in a total multi-religious survey of 10,971. So the Catholic Leadership Institute interviewed more Catholics than this Pew Research survey interviewed people of all faiths or no faith.
Now, one of the caveats to this is that Disciple Maker Index, that 90% of the people that they interviewed consider themselves frequent Mass attendees, mm-hmm. which, of course, would hopefully have people with a greater understanding of the church's teaching because mm-hmm. they are exposed to it on a much more frequent level.
And to kind of give some more context to what you're going to talk about with the phrasing of the Pew question is the Disciple Maker Index. They asked, I personally believe the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And 72% of the Disciple Maker Index respondents strongly agreed with that statement. Another 19% agreed with that statement. So that's 91% agreed with that statement.
Yes, which is dramatically higher than 31%.
90% of the survey sample, high rate of weekly mass attendance, 91% agree or strongly agree that I personally believe the Eucharist really is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So let's get into that distinction between really and actually. Is this a distinction without a difference, Deacon Mike?
No, it's not, because as Father Thomas Daly pointed out in this article for Ascension, is that when we as a culture hear the word actual, actually, we seem to think that there's a scientific proof associated with this. Mm-hmm. And so the point he was making is that perhaps those 1,835 people believed that they had to believe that there was scientific proof
right.
for the real presence.
Right.
And so that might have guided their answer to a certain extent in how they answered it, whereas the Disciple Maker Index asked the question the way we would expect it to be asked about the real presence.
Yeah.
And so that response is dramatically different.
Yeah, using the word really is that triggers in the respondent's mind the catechizing that they've had of this is the real presence. There's Jesus's real presence in the Eucharist, whereas actual, they might be thinking from a non-Catholic surveyor.
Right.
The surveyor is trying to get them to say that they think that the priest is holding up an actual piece of Christ's flesh.
Right.
Which is not what the church teaches.
Yes, and I think that for us as Catholics, we fully understand that reality extends not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. So when we talk about something being real, even if I cannot identify it as such physically, I have sense enough to know that for God, the spiritual realm is perhaps more important than the physical realm. And so when he tells us that this is the real presence, that what I see doesn't necessarily have to be what really is going on.
Now, this is a theme that you really like to preach on. You always like to, what am I trying to say? You jump at the chance, or you're excited when you get to preach on Corpus Christi.
Oh,
you
yes.
get to talk about substance versus accident.
So
yes. Go through that. Those philosophical concepts in layman's terms, but with some substance, no pun intended.
Yes. And this is a terminology we no longer use. So for us as modern Christians, we deal empirical facts, but there is a link between philosophy and science that has to be kept in order to understand a lot of things that we talk about. Accident and the substance are philosophical terms that help us understand reality. And all they mean is that accidents are those physical things that describe something.
Mm-hmm.
Taste, smell, feel, all these things.
We might use the term attribute.
Attributes would be a very good term for that. But substance is what really makes something what it is. And so a good example of this is when we take a human body and we look at it in its parts, like 89% water, a few chemicals thrown in and all this, those are the accidents. And if you put it all together, you can poke it, prod it and everything, but it doesn't tell you what that body is. It doesn't tell you who that body is. And theologically, we refer to what makes something what it is, the form. And so the form for us as human beings is the soul. It's the substance of who we are.
Right.
Rather than the accidents. And so I can describe the accidents, but that doesn't make me who I am.
Is it fair to say that our substance or our soul is our humanness? It's what makes us.
Yes.
It's the whole thing that makes us human as opposed to feline or a rock.
Right. But as Catholic Christians, we also believe that we are composites.
Right.
That body helps describe who we are and make us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can't separate the two when you're talking about the substance, other than philosophically that accidents doesn't make us who we are. It is part of who we are.
Now, could we go on and say you can't separate the substance from the accident when you're talking about a living human being, but you can when you're talking about a dead human being?
Exactly,
because separating the substance from the accident is death.
Right. But it, for us human beings, that is only temporary because we will once more be reunited with our body to become ourselves.
Right. So, and at the same time, trying to separate those, they are so intertwined. They are such a composite that trying to separate them or separating them successfully causes death.
Right. And so when we're talking about the Eucharist, we're talking about the bread being the accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And after the consecration, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ becomes the substance. Now, in order to see, God leaves the accidents. We're still left with, but the substance has been changed.
Right.
And so what we see is not what's there. We have to see with the eyes of faith and trust that what God tells us happened actually happened. And we saw this in John's 6th chapter when Jesus told the disciples that they were going to have to consume his flesh, and the response was, "No way, Jose." And, you know, at the Last Supper, when he said, "This is my body," it is the 12 that remained after that event in Capernaum who believed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question always arises for us as Catholic Christians is when we're in the church, which side are we on?
Mm.
Are we those disciples who find it hard to believe that he can give us his flesh to eat? Or are we like the apostles at the Last Supper who say, "Amen."
Right, right. Give us some of your favorite layman's examples that you use to, you know, illustrate. These are analogies.
Right.
But this is what you use sometimes to help people understand this difference between substance and accident.
Well, what I normally use is a simple styrofoam cup. And when we see a styrofoam cup, you know, it's white. The top is round. It's cylindrical to a certain extent. we see all these things, but these things don't make it a cup. A cup doesn't have to be white. A cup doesn't have to have a round top. A cup doesn't have to be cylindrical. A cup can be different things. The things that we see aren't what make it a cup. What makes it a cup is what I refer to as cupness. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a cup. And so, same thing when we're talking about accidents, that's what we're talking about. The styrofoam, the whiteness, the roundness. These things are the accidents. It's what the pieces that are put together. Mm-hmm. But that's not the substance of a cup. Cupness is the substance. And so when we're talking about accidents and substance, it's always a good idea to remember that God determines what something is. And so God can change that.
So I guess this brings us to the question of, if we're having this Eucharistic revival, mm-hmm. and one of the prompts for it was these results from the Pew Research Survey suggesting that many, many Catholics don't believe what the church teaches, then what are we supposed to do about it? Are we supposed to, is this a catechesis problem? Is this a practice problem in terms of not having enough people going to Mass regularly? Is this a, what are some of the attributes, or what are some of the aspects of how we try to address this issue? Or is this a non-issue? Is more being made out of something than is really there? Well, is there no substance to this? To this worry.
Good question. I think that perhaps it is a reaction to something that isn't really as serious as it was presented, which doesn't mean it isn't serious. And so even if there's 10% of practicing Catholics as found in the Disciple Makers Index, that's too many. And so the church asks itself, well, how do we address that? And so this is the whole part of the National Eucharistic Revival. It is intended to have you and I to look at what is my belief mm-hmm. in the Eucharist and how do I strengthen that? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite prayers is at the elevation of the Eucharist at Mass. And I pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm. And I think this is the theme of the National Eucharistic Revival for every single one of us. Go to adoration. Pray that prayer. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. Go to Mass. Listen to the homily. Listen to the Eucharistic prayer. Ask yourself, do I believe? And so this is the whole point of the National Eucharistic Revival, for every single Catholic, whether you have a strong belief in the Eucharist or a flaccid belief in the Eucharist, strengthen that.
Yeah.
Tell yourself that no matter how much I believe, it's a mystery, and I'm never going to grasp the entirety of it. Mm-hmm. So allow myself to work on that.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I would add to it that I think another point of this revival should be go to communion worthily.
Yes.
Take seriously what the church expects of us for worthy reception of communion. Examine your conscience before you present yourself for communion, and don't go lackadaisically. Because that's the creator of the universe who is coming to us in a wafer that looks like a wafer, I should say. I don't want to be accused of heresy. To integrate himself with us and reconfigure us.
Yes. It's all about metanoia, allowing ourselves to be changed into Christ.
And I'm the first one that needs, not trying to say that. I'm the first one that needs to do that and do that more. So yes. So that is our take, our hot take, this episode on one of the causes of the Eucharistic revival, one of the maybe promptings of it that's not as serious as maybe was at first glance, but we all need to fall deeper in love with our Lord in the sacrament of the Eucharist.
And appreciate what it is that we're receiving.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. So we hope you've enjoyed and we hope you've learned something by this little installment of The Deacon and the Doc. And we'll be back next time.
Where we will have something to talk about, something perhaps to disagree about, but always something to be faithful about.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Deacon and the Doc podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please consider going to redsearadio.org/donate and supporting religious education for the domestic church.